You want to go outside? We can help you get outside. It's not about us.
From the COIN Podcast Network studios in Portland, Oregon, this is Six Questions with Emily Burris and Ian Costello.
Hello there, Ian Costello here, flying solo this week. No Emily, she is off dealing with some family stuff. Since I think being outside is better than listening to me talk, I want to get right to this week's interview with two guys who have been helping people in Portland and the surrounding area get outside and enjoy the outdoors for more than 20 years. This week, I got the chance to talk to Deke Heikamp and Brian Knutson about their friendship, opening their store Next Adventure, and what makes them proud to be part of the Portland story.
I think we're ready. I just want to start with you can't believe a thing that he says.
Okay.
You can't believe this guy.
Because I was telling a better story. So just
we, you know, after over 50 years now, I've just learned that anything he says about me cannot be trusted.
Cannot be trusted. Do not trust this man.
And here we go.
Deke, I was explaining to Brian before he got here that I just came back from a wedding in Denver, and I got in a conversation with somebody who was there as well, who is from Denver, and we kind of got into a bit of a debate about what's got the better outdoor areas to play around in, Denver versus Portland. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit. But question to the two of you, first off, how would you rank Portland and the greater Portland area as an outdoor destination in the country and in the world?
You know, last time I checked, Denver doesn't have an ocean. They can't go to the beach. In Portland, you get you're 45 minutes to an hour from the mountains, from the beach, from skiing, from camping, from fishing, you know, all of that in an area that you literally, one of the beauties of is you can start driving and within a half an hour, you're outside of town and you're your route up into the mountains or whatever your outdoor activity is going to be.
Yeah.
Deke, is this a great playground?
Unquestionably. I mean, that's it was really funny when I first was dating my now wife, she was in planning school and she had to interview somebody about what they loved about Portland and how it worked. And she was pretty blown away when I'm like, listen, we live in a place where you can go skiing in the morning, you can sneak in a class 5 kayaking river, and you can still get in. You can, on your way back, you can call and get tickets for world-class theater. And, you know, Portland is growing a bit. And so, you know, maybe those tickets are harder to come by, but the fact that you can, within an hour and a half, you can surf, you can ski, you can kayak, you can mountain bike. And really one of the things that I like is it's kind of at all levels. If you want to, this is a good place for people to start into sports, you know, entry-level kayaking, entry-level mountain biking, entry-level skiing, you have it all here.
I want to travel back in time a little bit. We're going to loop back to Portland and the specifics about you guys in Portland here in a bit. But when I look at the story of the two of you and Next Adventure on your website, it really focuses on your friendship. It says you've been good friends since childhood, but I want to hear that origin story. How did the two of you meet?
Before we go too far, can we define good? I mean, come on. It's no, I'll take this one. Brian and I met because our mothers started first grade together and were best friends in high school. And so we actually met at our mother's 10-year high school class reunion. So we got together and then we visited after. I was 5, Brian was 8, and we just hit it off. Well, actually, I didn't like the guy from the very beginning, but
might have had something to do with me dumping the milkshake on your brother's head. But hey,
that was later. Yeah. The thing is that, so our families would then, you know, that kind of rekindled the friendship and our families would get together a couple times a year. Cause Brian grew up outside of Bellingham in a very small town, kind of farm community called Acme, Washington. And I grew up outside of Cottage Grove, I grew up in a town called Dorena, which isn't even a town. It's just a reservoir. So we were outdoor kids and we would get together And a fun story is that that's where the name of the business came from, was when we would get together, that the car wouldn't even come to a stop before the door would fly open and one or the other of us would jump out, and our parents wouldn't see us. Sometimes for days we'd go out and sleep in the woods, or, you know, we'd only come for food and, to steal a beer out of the fridge once in a while. And it was just pure fun. And our parents would always be like, all right, what's this crazy next adventure you guys are on? Because we were always on an adventure, whether it was, you know, out cutting down trees or riding motorcycles or making obstacle courses in the woods or whatever it was, swimming in the river, swimming in the lake. It was really awesome.
Brian, when you think back to those early days of your friendship and those sometimes crazy adventures, what was that like? What were the two of you doing to pass the time and hopefully get into some mild trouble?
Well, Deke would tell you that I always got him into trouble because he was the good kid.
Unbelievably true.
Yeah. And he would just like, so yeah, it was a lot of fun because it was just basically, we would try anything. I mean, it would just be like, we'd just get a crazy, idea in our heads, like going gold panning. And so and what that would lead to is us building sluice boxes and carrying them up the mountains up to the river and sluicing and panning and stuff. I mean, we would always take it honestly too far. And I think half the fun for us was building the stuff to go out and do it. And that was how it was a lot of times, it's just fun. And then getting in trouble, I'll never forget a story. He knows which one I'm going to tell, but we're on the river. I lived on a river and people would float it. Hundreds of people would float it. Well, there'd always be beer left in the river. So I found beer one time and we got it filled up a six pack. And so we drank one beer. We drank one beer each, went to the house and I don't even know. I think we were perfectly going to get away with it, but I think Deke just got guilty and ends up telling us. So then now we're in freaking trouble because we're drinking this beer. Of course, my parents thought it was hilarious.
Let's be clear that people float the river during the summer.
Well, yeah,
it's January. It's January. It's like 6 degrees outside. And we've found these beers floating and they're all random, right? So it's not like we found a six pack. It's like we found six separate beers. So they're all different brands, all different. And we're walking across the famous bridge by Brian's above Brian's house. And Brian comes up with the idea, hey, we should drink one of these. Well, first off, you're whatever age, teenager, and it's all skunky beer, right? So it's nasty. Yeah. We just had a sip. It's like, oh, this is gross. But I am the goody two shoes. So I'm like, no, they'll know. And Brian looks at me and is like, really? one out of a random six packs. So always getting me in trouble. He almost got me beat up by my brother because of the skateboard incident. A funny one. Actually, this is hilarious because right currently, as we speak, I'm in Florence, Oregon, staying at the Driftwood Shores Resort where Brian and I almost got sent to jail for launching rockets. Brian was into these rockets. That's the other thing you need to know about Brian is he'll be into something and he'll be so into it and then he'll be done with it. So every time we met, he was into something new. So this time he was into these model rockets and we're sending off, it's a night, we're sending off model rockets from the beach, right? So we get back to our room. The Coast Guard calls because we were sending off flares from the beach. So of course I'm not happy. I think I'm going to go to jail. And Brian, the best moment of the whole thing was Brian's dad, who is a retired police officer and was a Navy veteran. He gets on the phone with the Coast Guard and says, "So, how many emergency flares do you see that are shot from the beach that you have to respond to?" And they kind of went quiet and we didn't go to jail, but Brian was always getting me in some trouble.
There's the trouble and the friendship or the friendship and the trouble, depending on which is more important at a certain time. At what point in time did the two of you decide, hey, let's turn this into a business?
For me, it was like, we talked about it. Deke was running a bunch of shoe stores in Portland, well, in Seattle, and then we had one in Portland. I was working for Les Schwab at the time, and we kind of talked about it off and on over the years. We went to a couple places in Seattle that were like second bounce, and we're kind of looking at these places. We really, you know, we like doing a lot of that stuff. And the idea was like, hey, you know, we've always been separated by a couple hundred miles, and it was like, man, it'd be so much easier if we did something. So I'd just been coming off a fresh divorce, and so I was kind of looking for something. And so Deke was like, hey, you know, he was kind of getting done with the shoe repair business. And he started looking in Portland and said, hey, let's do this. And I'm like, okay, well, you start looking. So he started looking. This is the short version. We started looking. And then one day I get the call. And I get the call and it's like, hey, I found us a space where let's do this. I had to literally go to my manager at the time after 11 years and tell him, yeah, I'm quitting in 2 weeks. And I sold my house in Bellingham. I loaded everything that I owned in a U-Haul, and I drove to Portland to open the store with Deke. And we stayed at a friend's house up on Sylvan Hill. And basically, we figured if we could just make $100 a day, we could make $100 a day, we could survive. And if you think for a second that I didn't spend many hours staring at the ceiling at night thinking about, okay, we're going to do this. And because it's pretty scary to make that jump. Here's the thing I will say about having a friendship for 50 years is the fact that what we had was 100% trust in each other. Like there was no, I was not afraid. I was not worried about it. It was like we knew we were both committed to this 100%. It's one of the advices that I give to people that ask me what to do when starting a business. And I says, then commit 100%. If you're not 100% committed, you'll never get there. Because if you're wondering, you know, the decisions you make and the things you do, knowing that if you don't do them right, you're not going to be able to feed yourself, then you are 100% committed into that business. And we always have been. But yeah, I remember coming down and doing it. And I think we were doing the garage sale thing, driving around getting garage sales. We'd done our research. It wasn't like we just like dropped a hat and did this. But I remember the first day we opened and thinking, okay, all we had to do was make $100. Deke was over still working his one shoe store in Portland. And the first day, I think we pulled in $300. And we never looked back from there. And honestly, I think Deke had the plan. We had the plan that Deke was going to work the other business for like 6 months to a year. If I remember right, Deke, that didn't even last 3 months before it was we had so much business that we needed help and you had to basically, you know, come back over and help. So, but yeah, we never looked back. I mean, it grew at a phenomenal rate. And within 3 months, we moved into the space we're in now. We were actually up the street in 1500 square feet and stuff. I actually have a video from that from 1997. It's pretty hilarious, but yeah.
So that was July, August, September, late summer, 1997. And Brian, you mentioned it early on. You guys gathered a lot of stuff at yard sales throughout the region. I'm curious, and I'll leave this to either of you. What's the strangest thing you've ever seen at a yard sale? Where was it? And did you buy it?
Gotta think of this thing. I've seen so many strange things at yard sales.
Oh my God. We've got so many stories.
Yeah. I mean, go for it, Deke. I'm sitting here kind of drawing a blank right at the second. If you got something, there's so many weird things. The garage sales and other places that we went to, you know?
Yeah. Collecting gear. So, you know, to kind of add to Brian's story, the fact is that I had another business, and I was living in Seattle at the time, and I had myself and a partner had four of these instant shoe repair businesses. My claim to fame is I was in business with a guy, and we were the first ones to bring instant shoe repair to the United States. Funny thing to claim to fame, but that's what it was. So, but it was a fun little business. But we ended up getting it to 14 stores over two states, and I was killing myself just working too much, but it took a long time to wind that down. So we had about 3.5 years from the time that it was like, okay, we're going to separate, but we got to wind this thing down. And during that time, we started going out and collecting all this stuff. And so we would, you know, we would go to thrift stores and we would go to garage sales and all this stuff. So yeah, we're out there. And I mean, God, some of the buys, one of my favorites, and my wife will laugh when she hears this. But so when we started dating, I'm like, well, I work every Friday, Saturday. I go out to get these garage sales. And she would get so excited about the most inane things. So one time we buy a worm box. So just a, you know, box for night crawlers. She came back and she got so competitive with Brian that she jumps out of the truck and she goes, "Oh yeah, well, we got a worm box." And I tell you, to this day, I can just look at her when she's a little off, when she's a little off her game, I can just look at her and go, "Oh yeah, well, we got a worm box," and she will just crack up. But yeah, worm box. I mean, and it, but I guess the thing that blows me away is how creative people are as well. So, you know, you walk into a garage sale and somebody has an old frame from a raft frame, right? They don't have the raft, they just have the frame. And so at the right price, you pick it up and you put it on the wall and people come and go, "What's that? What does that fit?" It's like, "What do you got?" and they're willing at the right price, that people are willing to be creative to get what they need. And I think that's been a real mainstay of our business, is that, you know, maybe it's not the latest and greatest, maybe it's not the designer, but you know, a good Gore-Tex jacket made by somebody, you know, some no-name brand, is still a Gore-Tex jacket, and people can buy it and use it and go out and have fun with it. So
right off the bat, I would say, just listening to your guys' answers, you were saying we need to make $100 a day. And then that first day you make $300 and you're kind of off and running, obviously with a lot of support from the Portland community. Is that the best part of being in the Portland business community? And if not, what has been the best part of being part of the business community in Portland at Next Adventure for the last 20 plus years?
Man, I would say absolutely the most rewarding thing is being a part of the community. And it's not just the business community, but rather just the outdoor community. If we knew then what we know now, we probably wouldn't start the business, because at that time, Portland had probably one of the top most competitive markets for outdoor gear in the nation. And here we are, this little startup, kind of this funky used store. But what happened was pretty clear, is that we struck a chord. There were just people like us that were willing to, you know, take a shot on some used gear, and maybe they didn't have the big budget, and they wanted to make do, and we wanted to get outside. And so we found that niche, and people responded to it. And unquestionably, the support and the fun of doing a little negotiation and a little arm wrestling to get to certain prices. And I think that people, you know, outdoor industry can be pretty elitist. And I think we struck the chord that, like, listen, come as you are, and we're going to have some fun together, and we're going to get you the gear that you need. And I think that support has been the best thing, for sure, for me.
And one of the other things that we did also was we immediately got into the community and started supporting events and local community events. And at some point we were up to 60, 65, 70 events a year that we were, you know, a part of. Whether, you know, supporting disc golfers, kayakers, backpackers, all these things. We started out with the PCT days, which is, you know, happening this year, started that 15 years ago, but it was literally us and a couple other people. So we were really good at reaching out and finding local communities to support, because, you know, like the Boy Scouts, everything like that, because we knew if we supported them, generally people would then turn around and support us.
Brian, what's been the hardest part of the business over the last 20 years?
Probably getting the part of the challenges is, like, you start to, as you get bigger and bigger, you start to, you know, have more and more things that you have to do. So that probably isn't as fun as, like, when we were just running and gunning for the first 10 years when, you know, it was just Deke and I doing it. So now you've just got a lot of, you know, you've got HR departments, you got a lot of stuff like that. So there's a lot more of that administrative side of things that isn't as fun as the stuff that we used to do, going to shows and making deals and, you know, doing that sort of stuff. So that's probably the least fun, but, you know, the fun part is still going in the store, working with customers. I mean, there's nothing I love better than just hanging out in the store and getting an opportunity to talk to customers and meet new people and, you know, and greet kids and just, you know, that sort of thing. That's what makes it all worthwhile, really, is at the end of the day, is being able to go and talk to and hang out with our customers. Because a lot of these customers have been coming in for 20 years, 25 years. I'll be there almost on a regular basis, I'll run into somebody who says, oh, good to see you again. You know, and it'd be somebody that literally has been coming to the store for 20 years.
You're seeing the same people walk through your door over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again. We have, I believe that we have a really loyal following that comes in on a regular basis once a week and checks out what new stuff that we have, what crazy stuff we have in the basement, what new deal we got, that sort of thing.
I want to talk a little bit about the last 18 months or so and the effect the pandemic has had on your business. Obviously, restaurants, obviously, retail stores and that kind of thing have seen a run of tough times here. But a lot of people did get up and get outside as a way to socially distance from one another, from crowds and that kind of thing. How has the last 18 months been for the two of you and your business?
Yeah, I can speak to the, I mean, it certainly hasn't been easy for anyone. And man, my heart goes out to, you know, restaurants and places that were just had absolutely no options. We are incredibly fortunate that the outdoor, I don't know that I believed this when we started this business, but being in the outdoor industry is very recession proof. It's a pretty darn stable business. And this was another test of that. I mean, we've lived through, you know, we lived through the events of 9/11, which, you know, shut the country down. But people came and to, you know, 2008 and the crash there and now a pandemic. And the fact is that people, they want to go outside. It is something that you can do. It is something that you have some control of yourself and you can be out there. So we're fortunate that the demand was there. But I can tell you it was incredibly hard because you're constantly weighing, everything was four times more difficult because you're always weighing the safety of your staff, the safety of your customers. Things were changing daily, if not hourly, in the beginning, and trying to stay up on all those things. That's the hard part of running a business. That's the serious part of like, oh, I have, you know, we have responsibilities. There are, you know, 100 families that depend on us to make good decisions and keep them safe. So I would say it's rewarding, and we're thankful. I was very thankful that there was demand. It took a lot of creativity to stay open and be able to service those demands and keep our staff safe. So I'm tired. it's been a long, hard year, and I'm just thrilled that we're slowly coming out of it. And my hat's off to all of our staff who are great people and stuck it out quite the year.
In talking to you and researching you, you both seem to be very passionate about the community that is Portland and what it can be. What role do you want to see Next Adventure play? What role do the two of you want to play in the next evolution of the city?
I don't know. We know what the next evolution of the city is going to be. One of our big taglines is to inform, outfit, and excite. If we continue to stay focused on what we do best and who we are, you know, as times change, you can reinvent the methodology of how to accomplish those goals and how to better reach the community and how to be an advocate in the community and how to be a resource, but staying true to who we are. There's been a lot of, an example is, you know, there's been over the last year, there's been a lot of attention to social justice issues and we support those things, but we are not a social justice organization, right? We are an organization that helps people get outside, and we can do our part by being relevant in and open and educate ourselves about how to support those that don't see the outdoors as Brian and I do. They don't see it as a safe place. We can be a resource to help them, help that be a safe place, but we have to stay true to who we are, which is we're merchants who help people get outside. So I think that the methodology will change, but if we stay true to who we are, I think the demand for people getting outside, as we saw this last year, there's a huge demand for it. I think that people that now have gotten outside will realize that they were missing out, and they're going to stick with it. If they have resources like our store and our staff to help them do that.
Yeah. I think a lot of for us is now that it's opening up is being able to start doing events again, supporting the local communities, whether it be disc golf and the paddling community, and just, you know, really kind of helping support again, which we've always done. It's not anything different, and just being able to get out there and really help support the groups and help support a lot of these especially the new people that are getting out there, and being able to inform them and provide, you know, information so that they can have a good time out there.
I think Brian just said support in about 4 or 5 times. And I think it's important, again, who we are is like, we know our place in the market, right? Okay. We're this resource. There are people that are doing amazing things, and our job is not to take the limelight. You know, we're merchants, we're outdoor retailers. We have a lot of information. We have a lot of great people. We have a lot of those things, but it's everyone else's adventure. We're just here to support it. And we believe that with community events as well. It's like, there are people in the community, there are groups in the community doing amazing work. We see our job as a support role. You want to go outside? We can help you get outside. It's not about us. It's about you and your adventure. And I believe that that's another thing that's helped us so much in the industry is that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, to be fair, you know, it became pretty elitist. And even in the early 2000s, it's pretty elitist. It's expensive to get outside. It's, you know, and oh, if you're not climbing, you know, 5'10", you're nothing. Or if you're not paddling, you know, this level of water, you're just a newbie or a beater or whatever you want to call it. The fact is we're all on the journey somewhere. And by just like having the come as you are attitude, I think that's our role. And supporting those people in their adventure and not taking the limelight, letting them shine is really what draws people to our company and our people.
Sometimes people forget, they get really good at something. They forget they were a noob once. Yeah. Everybody was a noob once, man.
Brian and Deke, I want to thank you both very much for your time today. I've got a couple quick fire questions for you. Brian, I'll start with you. Favorite place to hike around Portland for you is blank.
Oh, easy. Timothy Lake. I love Timothy Lake. I want to fish it. I love camping on it. There's a trail that goes around. We do, you know, I don't hike that much around it, but I get around it to fish from the shore and stuff. So I would say Timothy Lake is probably one of my favorite places. I took my son up there a lot in the past years to go fishing and camping. There's Timothy on the way. Timothy up at the top, and then there's Harriet Lake on your way up. So that whole Clackamas watershed, you've got, you know, Carver Bridge. We do a lot of events up there. So I would say that particular place is probably one of my favorite areas to go to.
Deke, if you could pick one place to fish for the rest of your life around Portland, it would be blank.
Oh, it's gotta be the coast. It's gotta be on the bay there at Seaside.
Question for both of you. Best place to grab a bite and maybe a beer after your most recent adventure in Portland is where?
My favorite place is a lot of times has been at Hopworks over the years, because it's kind of on my way to my house. So it's up on, you know, Powell up there, 36th and Powell. And plus we've actually done a lot of events and stuff over the years with them. So probably one of my favorite places to stop, because I know people there. So you get to talk to them and their pretzels were.
Oh, I do like their pretzels.
Yeah, I find myself oriented out to the gorge a lot. So so Full Sail Brewing.
Just in case people don't know, I don't know how they wouldn't, but just in case people don't know where your store is, you want to give a little sales pitch where your store is, how people can get there, and when you're open.
Okay, well we have five ways to shop at Next Adventure.
Five.
So the original store we call the Grand Store, that's on the corner of Southeast Stark and Grand in Portland. Just a couple blocks away is our Paddle Sports Center, which is 12,000 square feet that is dedicated fully to paddle sports. And that's on the corner of 7th and Alder, just off Southeast 7th. We have a location in Sandy on the way to the mountain, which is a great growing store. And we'll be doing some renovations and growth out there in the next year, right there on Pioneer Avenue. And then out at Scappoose Bay, the Scappoose Bay Marina, we have another paddling center out there, and we service the Columbia County community. And then, of course, on the web at nextadventure.net.
Thank you both very much.
Hey, Matt.
Absolute pleasure.
I want to thank Brian and Deke for their time. And like them, I'd encourage you to get outside and do something fun with your weekend. We'll be back with another episode of Six Questions next week. Thank you for listening to the COIN Podcast Network.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.